Hello, and thanks for joining us on Chicago Tonight Latino Voices. I'm Joanna Hernandez. Here's what we're looking at. Protesters plan to converge on Chicago's Trump Tower during Monday's presidential inauguration. They share their plans for the demonstration. Two Chicago colleges are making tuition free for some students. What you should know.
When you take a look worldwide, butterflies have a significance in many cultures.
And local conservation efforts aimed at protecting monarch butterflies. And now to some of today's top stories. Michael Madigan's defense team rests in the landmark corruption trial of the former Illinois House Speaker. It comes nearly 3 months after opening statements began in the case. Madigan and his longtime right-hand man, Michael McCain, are facing racketeering, bribery, and wire fraud charges. Both have pleaded not guilty. Closing statements are expected to begin next Wednesday, with jury deliberations the following week. For more on the trial, check out our website. Black business owners who sell products with hemp say they're under attack from Governor J.B. Pritzker. The hemp industry has few regulations. The governor is promoting a measure that would heavily crack down on what could be sold in Illinois. Pritzker says it's about consumer safety and health, citing deaths linked to youth who've used untested intoxicating hemp. But business owners say his plan goes too far. The Illinois Black Hemp Association says it supports a ban on selling hemp products to anyone under age 21, third-party product testing, and responsible packaging standards. Sad news for Lincoln Park Zoo after two of their animals died from the flu. Zoo officials say a Chilean flamingo named Teal and a harbor seal named Slater contracted the avian flu this month. The source of exposure is unknown, but officials say contact with infected waterfowl was possibly the cause. How cute. Oh, so sad. Officials are assuring visitors they are not at risk of contracting the bird flu from zoo animals, which is spread by free-ranging birds. Up next, details behind some planned protests happening in Chicago on Inauguration Day. That's right after this.
Chicago Tonight, Latino Voices, is made possible in part by the support of these donors.
As President-elect Donald Trump takes the oath of office on Monday, local activists say they plan to protest outside Trump Tower in downtown Chicago. The group, called the People's March for Justice, is part of a national coalition fighting against the goals of the incoming administration. And they say forming this alliance is just the start to accomplishing that. Joining us is Eric Ramos, a member of the Party for Socialism and Liberation in Chicago, one of the groups joining the protest. Thank you, Eric, for joining us. Now, I want to start off, why was it important for you to gather people together to rally on Inauguration Day?
You know, we really wanted to make a strong showing. And number one, you know, this is a national mobilization that's happening in over 75 cities across this country. And just locally, we have over 60 organizations coming together. And it's really important for us to make a strong showing, not just of the importance of Chicago and them saying that it's going to be, you know, their ground zero for their deportation campaign, but to really make a strong showing to say and show that the billionaire class and their anti-working class agenda, and that these deportations rip apart families, you know, families they called essential just a few years ago, and to continue these funding and arming a genocide in Palestine anywhere in the world, we want to make sure that they actually know that they don't have a democratic mandate to carry out something like that.
So you're talking about thousands of people potentially showing up.
Yeah, we imagine there's going to be thousands of people there, absolutely, and not just here, but across the country.
You know, you talked a little bit about it, but why bring all these different types of groups together?
You know, it's so important. Solidarity is our greatest power, really. You know, we don't have the money as our working class, and we're up against these huge moneyed interests. So the only way that we can compete with that and stand up to such an agenda like theirs, we have to come and bring all these different struggles together, help us see the struggles within each other, so that we can kind of manifest the kind of power that's needed in order to stop, you know, their this 2025 and their billionaire agenda.
You know, talking about struggles and challenges, you talked about Palestine, you talked about Chicago being one of the main places that Trump says that he is going to come here first for his ICE raids. You know, what other issues you plan to address at the rally?
Yeah, you know, not just immigration and the anti-war situation. There's going to be a lot of campaigns focusing on poverty, on housing and education. There's going to be a lot of teachers joining us as well. You know, this administration is placing attacks out on nearly all of our communities. You know, I'm Puerto Rican, and I know that they have nothing in store for us but, you know, further displacement and exploitation. So we got to come together for this.
And for you as a young man, why are you so passionate? Why is it so important for you to speak out and gather people?
For me, you know, it's been important for me for a long time in my life. I think I learned early on that what happened to our communities, what happened to my island, was something that was being done to us. And that the only way that we can make a difference, and the only way that we've ever made a difference, to establish and to continue to defend our most basic democratic rights, is to actually stand up and fight and work together.
Would you say sometimes that's the hardest part, to speak out? I mean, you're very active on social media as well about your, you know, your views.
Yeah. No, I think that part comes easy, to be honest. It's like a yearning that I have to absolutely fulfill, you know, and I think that I organize with a lot of folks who feel exactly the same way, and we keep each other going, we keep each other strong, keep each other disciplined. And
keep each other pushing.
Yeah.
Now, President Biden gave a warning of an oligarchy taking shape in the country in his farewell address last night. Do you share this same concern? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I found it really interesting that he said that, because, you know, this country was set up for an oligarchy, and it was set up by rich merchants and bankers. And so, yeah, you know, there's an oligarchy. There's been an oligarchy. It's a little interesting for him to say that, but, you know, I do agree. There is an oligarchy that is kind of controlling in power of the government, and that's exactly what we're out here to oppose and to demonstrate, that there's an independent working class politic out there that is really the one that we need to be supporting.
For those who don't know what an oligarchy is, how do you explain it to people?
Yeah. An oligarchy is essentially when a particular class, specifically a moneyed class, is in control of a government, which I think that if you ask most Americans on the street, they will admit quite plainly, you know, so.
Now, many of the groups involved are feeling, you know, dissatisfied with both Democrats and Republicans. Mm-hmm. Why would you say that so?
Yeah, well, you know, every single administration, and we can go by with different struggles, continue to advance these issues that are completely opposed to the working class. I mean, we have rising cost of living, rising rents, and every single issue that there is. Whether there's war, they're going to be expanding more. And, you know, every next president has actually expanded deportations and has carried out campaigns in our homelands in Latin America that caused people to come here in the first place. So, whether it's Democrats or Republicans, they actually are quite bipartisan on many issues, despite what they kind of try to make us see. So it's very important, once again, that we establish an independent working class politic that is ours, representative of our interests, what the people want in housing and education and health care, and not theirs.
You know, what's that message that you want to convey to people?
Me personally? I think that it's good to get out there, that we need you, everyone, in this fight, if we're going to achieve the world that we want. And again, it's not one particular person or one group that's going to be able to do it. It's going to take all of us. So everything that we have in this country, everything we've ever gained, everything that we enjoy has been achieved by the organizing of working class people just like us. And so we need you to get out there.
And talking about your work, what work is being done outside of protesting to engage people with the movement?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, again, there's 60-plus organizations, and they all kind of have their own way of their reaching their bases. But us in particular, we are always doing liberation forums where we're educating people. We've been, in particular, talking about issues like immigration. We have an MLK, Martin Luther King Jr. Forum, tomorrow, actually, just to continue to educate people on what their agenda is and where we need to be. But also, we've been having organizing meetings, and we're inviting people, whether they're in an organization or not, to come and realize themselves as actors in history. And start reaching out to their own communities, and we're doing a lot of outreach that way. We do art builds, film screenings.
I hear a lot of passion here. Can you tell me like the details for Monday?
Yeah, for Monday? Yeah, so it's going to be a Water Tower Park at the corner of Michigan and Chicago Avenue, 11 a.m. And we're going to start there with a rally. We're going to have hand warmers, and it's going to be cold. People need to dress as warm as they can. We'll do what we can with hand warmers. And then we're going to march to Trump Tower.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Eric. Thank you for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Up next, two local colleges are offering free tuition for some students. We explain right after this. Residents are feeling the weight of college tuition might be getting some relief. Roosevelt University and the University of Illinois Chicago are announcing they're easing costs for low-income students by providing free tuition. Here to tell us more about it are Carla Bolina Herrera, a senior associate of community engagement at Chicago Scholars, which helps first-generation students navigate college admissions, Rich Hayes, an executive director of student financial aid and scholarships at the University of Illinois Chicago, and Abel Amkunska, a senior admission counselor for diversity recruitment at Roosevelt University. Did I pronounce your name right?
Amesqua.
Amesqua. Okay.
It happens all the time. Honestly, I hear way worse.
I know. I was trying. Now let's talk about tuition. It can be daunting.
Absolutely.
As a first-generation student, I can say it was really hard. I was the first one to go to college.
Same.
I didn't know what I was doing. So all of us, we didn't know what we were doing.
We're all in the same boat.
I want to start with you. Why was it important for Roosevelt to start providing free tuition?
Yeah, so when we really think about, like, I think our school and sort of our mission is that we really are about social justice. And I think for me personally is making sure that we make education sort of accessible from students, regardless of what they are. If they have the academic criteria, we should be doing everything in our power as an institution to help them if we're really going to claim to be about that. So a few years ago, we had a whole restructuring with our tuition reset. Now we're offering this brand new program, and really I think it's going to make obviously our school much more affordable but accessible, and being able to really get students out there to follow their sort of dreams when it comes to their sort of careers that they want to go into.
I mean, that sounds like a big deal. Can you tell us who's eligible and what are the requirements?
Yeah, so for any students whose family income is going to be $50,000 or less, they have to be residents of Illinois, they have to have graduated from an Illinois high school, and they have to be citizens under the age of 24. And so we're really hoping with this, after that, any sort of academic scholarships, anything that we offer, we're going to cover the rest of them. The only thing that is not going to be covered is anything when it comes to, like, room and board. But otherwise, yeah, we definitely want to make sure that we want to help students. We want to alleviate that.
Trying to give them a little of some
ease. One of the biggest roadblocks for students getting into their universities or college of choice is, I think, cost.
You know, I was one of those students who just kind of got all the debt. Just signed up for all the loans and also my dad without knowing what I was actually doing.
Yeah.
You know, Rich, what about UIC? Can you tell us how many students have applied so far for this program and also what are the requirements there?
And so our requirements, we got the Aspire program, which is a rebrand of our UIC Opportunity Grant. But same thing, we wanted to provide access to our students because we're one of the very few research institutions in the city of Chicago. We got 40,000 plus students, and we've already seen increases in our new student population, our transfer population, and so we anticipate that this is going to be the hot topic for new students coming in for fall 25. So a little bit similar to Roosevelt, ours is you have to be $75,000 or less on the income level. First-time student or a transfer student coming in, there's no age requirement for ours. It must be an Illinois resident. It must be a full-time student. So those are the other cool thing about it is ours is not a last dollar scholarship like most are where you have to wait for everything to come through. Ours is a mid-dollar, which means we gap it against tuition and fees. We gap your tuition and fees against MAP grant and Pell grant only, and SCOG. And after that, you can still get your other scholarships, your PAP, your Chancellor's Fellows, and you can use that to cover some of your housing costs and some of those other points of cost of attendance.
Wow. And Carla, many of the students you work with are Latinos applying for college right now and navigating this tough process for the first time with no support. Can you talk about what that could look like for a student who has this dream university in mind and doesn't know if they can go there?
Oh, absolutely. Like students, you know, especially our young Latino students, and, you know, we're talking about being first gen as well. The reality is that they think about these things very intentionally because they think about their families, their communities, what can they really do? It's the first time they see a big number in their life. And so programs like these essentially are really supporting them to really go for their dreams. Mm-hmm. But most importantly as well, them realizing that there's communities and spaces, especially universities in their hometowns, that support them and see them and are willing to work with them to get them to where they want to be.
And you talked about that was you as well. You know, what's that advice like for a student who's going through the college process, something that you learned along the way that maybe you didn't have growing up?
No, can you repeat?
So, you know, really what I'm asking here is what's the advice that you give the students
now? Oh, I'd be like, you know, we got to think intentionally about what is, you know, what you're going to get from these schools. What are you looking for? And something about Chicago Scholars that I really like is we have our match and fit, you know, philosophy. And that means that we make them understand, all right, what is your academic fit, your financial fit, your social fit? And so you can really understand, you know, what is it really, you know, something that's really manageable for you. And so you could get what you want, but also, you know, be in a career and a space where, you know, you're thinking about that depth as well, which is something that is very hard to navigate. And so really giving them that advice, and then also still to dream big and really see, you know, what is that gap between
of course.
And figuring it out.
And Rich, according to UIC's website, some non-citizens can also be eligible for free tuition. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so with our Aspire program, we like to call it eligible non-citizens. So if they can complete a alternative app through the Illinois Student Assistance Commission with the state of Illinois, and we look at the same income level, then they can still qualify for the Aspire grant. So that's going to really help out our undocumented student population. To help them just get access, because we didn't want to just give it to our FAFSA filers. We know that we have a very large population of undocumented students, and we want to make sure that they have access as well.
That's awesome. And Abel, you work directly with students to provide admissions and financial aid programming in Spanish at Roosevelt. Can you tell us more about this work?
Yeah, so one thing that we noticed is that we were having events at school, and we just had such an overwhelmingly large amount of parents who were just not getting the information just because there was that language barrier. So we started doing a couple, last semester, we really started doing sort of events where not only did we just have little microphones where we were translating things for them as, you know, the presentation was going on, but actually having a presentation with somebody who was a Spanish speaker who can answer their questions in real time and be able to sort of have that conversation. A lot of times for parents and having first generation, you know, being a first generation student and my parents not knowing anything, just having a point of contact at a lot of these places where they could just talk with someone who understands them and gets them is so pivotal to helping them be able to sometimes step at our university.
Do you see that still going on? Because you just talked about your experience.
Yeah.
About your parents. I mean, my parents didn't go to college, so they didn't really know, right? They're just kind of, go to college. That's what I want you to do.
Absolutely. You know what? I talk with a lot of families who are not the traditional nuclear families with a mom and a dad. And sometimes it is, you know, the student who is doing out there and getting all the research and then just saying back to your mom or dad or grandma, grandpa, uncle, brother, sister, I just need a signature here. I need your tax document so that I can fill out the FAFSA. And they're trying to figure it all on themselves. And so I think at least one of my priorities is that I kind of want to be that point of contact for those students where, all right, you need help. You want to ask all the questions. I want to be that person where you can ask all the questions. And even if I can get it to you in this very second, I can get that to you very quickly.
I'm sure that has to feel good. Wow. Rich, what are your thoughts about that?
I think that is critical, having a Spanish speaker that can be able to translate that FAFSA information, because we know with the overhaul of the FAFSA Simplification Act, now undocumented parents can fill out a FAFSA form. They can get an FSA ID. It's a little bit different for them. It takes a little bit longer, but the Department of Ed has taken precautions and steps so they can get that FAFSA completed instead of doing it by paper like they used to do and mailing it in, waiting 6 weeks to get a response back. Because at the end of the day, I think the number one question every parent is going to ask is how much it's going to cost.
Do you remember when we had to mail in our college applications?
Oh, yeah. I did my first. The FAFSA application used to be
in the green room. I filled out mine in paper.
I did not miss it. Do you know nowadays it's so easy, right? How they have the college app?
Our students can fill it out on their cell phones. Honestly, you can go to our website. You can apply right from your cell phone right now, and it'll take you 10 minutes.
And you know what? to your point, the OFAST used to be 110 questions. Now it's 46.
I know.
It was more than a mortgage application.
Yeah.
Right?
And I would help my parents. So, you know, in your first generation, you're helping your parents trying to understand all that. Yeah. And, you know, to both of you, can students still apply? Is this if they want to apply for this free tuition, can they still apply now?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll let you go.
Yeah. So for our school, really, it's just a matter of when the student, the FAFSA time comes around, making sure that they fill that out. And then after that, really, we take care of most things. One thing at our school that I think we like to do really well is that we just ask for your FAFSA and then let us handle everything else with scholarships. And we're going to see all the different things that we can sort of put you or give you. So it's a very easy process for us at our school.
And Carla, we only have time for, I'm sorry, we only have a couple seconds. But as someone who works directly with students, you know, do you think that more university and college need to adapt this kind of format?
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, like I said, you're empowering them. You're showing them that you're intentionally thinking about their journeys there. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing them for, you know, all the work and the grind they have done for so many years. So they definitely, everyone, please get on board with all of this.
Follow your FAFSA.
Well, thank you.
Follow your FAFSA or the alternative.
I promise
the
you
alternative.
It's easier. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah.
Now, up next, efforts to help protect the monarch butterfly. But first, a look at the weather. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is pushing for monarch butterflies to gain a federally protected status. It comes as local residents have been making moves to conserve the species, which is the Illinois state insect for years. Assessments show monarch populations have declined by nearly 60% from 2023 to 2024. And these unique pollinators are an important part of the local ecosystem with deep culture connections in the Mexican community.
They are an insect pollinator, and most people think about pollination in conjunction with honeybees and bumblebees because they are so very important to our food crops. However, butterflies can be very important to our wildflower populations.
Brookfield Zoo works with the Illinois Monarch Project to help protect the insect's population through educational services, conservation efforts, and meeting goals to plant native milkweed for the butterflies to eat and lay eggs on. Manager of Interpretive Programs, Andre Copeland, emphasizes the ecological and cultural importance of monarchs.
When you take a look worldwide, butterflies have a significance in many cultures. They are related to our dreams, going from one realm to another. Sometimes they can be signals from our loved ones that are in the hereafter coming back to give us certain messages. Here in Illinois, they have a special significance because in 1975, a group of school children in Decatur lobbied successfully to have the monarch butterfly considered our state insect. And in 2017, milkweed was adopted as the Illinois state wildflower. So these animals can have an intrinsic value, but they can also have a value that's really rooted in our literature and our spirituality.
Monarch butterflies migrate each fall from the northern border of Canada all the way down to Mexico and then move back north to states like Illinois in the spring and summer. Pilsen resident Claudia Galeo Sanchez of Mujeres por Espacios Verdes has dedicated her time and home to the preservation of butterflies.
I have Leoncito, my son, he's 7, my daughter Claudita, she's 10. They transform me as a human. It's so sad for me thinking that one day I won't be with them anymore. So while I'm alive, I wanna keep planting as many trees, as many plants as I can, because I wanna come back as a butterfly and I will be with them forever.
Galeo Sanchez has transformed her home into a butterfly sanctuary, complete with the large collection of the pollinators displayed in her living room. For her, they are a sign of liberation.
The butterflies can cross the border anytime they need to because they need to migrate south and then they need to migrate north. They don't require a passport. They don't require papers to cross borders. It's something that makes me feel so painful because humans, we are not free to do that. We don't have the wings to go and visit our family in Mexico.
The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service are looking to add the monarch butterfly to its endangered species list. Advocates hope the designation will turn around the insect's declining population due to habitat loss, insecticides, and climate change.
We've seen before with some of our conservation successes when you have concerned citizens as well as organizations and government agencies all working together, you can have a dramatic turnaround. And we have two animals here at Brookfield Zoo Chicago that symbolize conservation success. See our American bison as well as the bald eagle. These are two animals whose populations were really, really low. But when everybody worked together in this nation, we saw conservation success. Those populations rebound to the point where they're stable. And this is why I'm hopeful and confident that we can do it again with the monarch butterfly.
Monarch butterflies are beautiful. And that's our show for this Thursday night. Now, from all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Joanna Hernandez. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe. Buenas noches.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that supports free educational initiatives in the legal profession.